Good morning and welcome to our worship on this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, November 8th, 2020. This service is being brought to you by Trinity Lutheran Church at 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Our recording team today is Stuart Taylor on the organ, Leah Larson, our cantor, Megan McCoy, our music director, Janet Ross, our lector, Kathy Box, assisting minister and children's time, and sound engineer and photographer, Kevin Boatwright. We join now in confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. We keep silence for personal prayer and reflection. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering hymn is Evangelical Lutheran Worship 632, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We join now in the Glory to God, ELW, page 139. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need and awaken us to the needs of others, all through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the fifth chapter in Amos. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness? Not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The word of the Lord.
You are my helper and mighty mover.
second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of the Lord.
We join now in the Gospel Acclamation, ELW, page 142. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went out with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ."
Good morning. I hope everyone's doing well this morning. We're going to take a few minutes and talk to the children now. And the adults can listen as well, because this is helpful for them. I don't know about you, but I've lived in Kansas all my life. And one thing I've learned about Kansas and their seasons, we need to be prepared. In the wintertime, we get ice and snow, and we need to be prepared in our cars. Always making sure we have shoes on our feet, which sometimes my children would forget to do when we'd get to the car, and have a coat. We always kept blankets, a flashlight, some water, and some crackers, just in case our car slid off the road. Now, in the spring here in Kansas, the spring and the summertime, we have a lot of rain that comes in. Sometimes that causes flooding. So we have to be prepared if there's too much water. And then, of course, living in Kansas, we have those dreaded tornadoes that everyone dislikes. Being prepared for those tornadoes is very important for us, too. One time I went camping, and it was my turn to walk the dog. And I started to walk my dog, Dana. As we were walking, My flashlight batteries went out. Here I was in the dark, not knowing where to go, what to do, walking in the dark. Now, if I was prepared, I would have checked the flashlight batteries in my flashlight first. But I wasn't that prepared, I guess. The parable today that was read, that Pastor read to us, was about 10 women. 5 of them were very prepared, and 5 of them were not. It's important for us to be prepared in life. Be prepared to go to school with your backpack packed, your lunchbox in hand, and your water bottle. Be prepared to walk out the door with your backpack and things, and your coats, and of course, not to forget our mask. Being prepared is part of life. But Jesus was telling this parable to help remind us that he wants all of us to be prepared. Being prepared not just for the things here on earth, but for things beyond the earth. Up in heaven, when we'll see Jesus someday. One way to be prepared in our life is to do things for other people, to help people, to love people. And it just so happens that this month is World Kindness Month in November. And World Kindness Day is going to be celebrated this coming up Friday, November the 13th. So as you think about that and you're preparing to go to bed at night or you're preparing to go to school the next day, remember what Jesus would like us to do, to be kind to others. And we need to remind our parents and our grandparents and sometimes our sisters and brothers about being kind too. Being prepared and being kind and loving to other people, I truly think is the way Jesus wants us to go. All right, so let's do our prayer. God loves me. Jesus is my friend. And church is a great place to be. Amen.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Annie Dillard wrote, "How we spend our days, is of course how we spend our lives." Think about that for a moment. What do you do with your days? And if you collected all of your days and merged them, what would it look like as your life? You see, I think how we spend our days is exactly what the deeper meaning is in our gospel lesson. We have 10 bridesmaids. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Is it because 5 are thinking about how they are going to spend their days and what they're focused on? Are they focusing on life and on living? Listen to the rest of Dillard's quote. "What we do with this hour and that one is what we are doing, period. A schedule defends from chaos and whim. It is a net for catching days. It is a scaffolding on which a worker can stand and labor with both hands at sections at a time. A schedule is a mock-up of reason and order, willed, faked, and so brought into being. It is a peace and a haven set into the wreck of time. It is a lifeboat on which you find yourself decades later, still living." Have you ever really thought about what you do with a day? Have you ever thought about how easily you can reach the end of a day without doing anything or thinking about anything? You just sort of go through the motions. Have you ever looked at how easily those days string together, and those days strung together make up a whole chunk of your life? I think the 5 wise bridesmaids are thinking about their place and their role in the kingdom of God. That's why they brought extra oil. If the bridegroom comes, they need to be ready for the kingdom. How about us? Are we ready for for the kingdom. Last week, All Saints Sunday, we talked about the Beatitudes, Matthew's version, and we hear those words, and sometimes the little words sort of slip right by us, and they get lost in the shuffle. And those marvelous words from that incredible chapter of Matthew's gospel, the teachings of Jesus, each and every one of those teachings begin with the same words, blessed are. It's not about something in the future. It is about the eternal and everlasting now. Blessed are. And Jesus goes on to list each one of those moments in human existence that make us blessed right now in the moment. It's not about the fact that the poor in spirit will be blessed in some time or space yet to come. The poor in spirit are blessed now. Each of the Beatitudes begins with those words, and I can't stress that enough. Blessed are you. Blessed and are. Think about your life, and think about your days, and think about being blessed, not tomorrow, not next week, but right now, that little word, are. Back to the Dillard quote. A schedule defends from chaos and whim. Most of us think we're slaves to our schedules, and I hate schedules. I hate meetings. I hate order. I love chaos. I want disorganization. I want confusion. But think about what happens when a schedule is kept. When we're forced into situations where we have to interact in structured ways. There was a time when time constraints for me were just like a straitjacket. And I was especially resistant to all of the hours that I spent in meetings. There was a time in my life when I was on lots of boards of directors, and I'm convinced that lots of us, perhaps most of us, when we go to be on a board of directors, it's not because we want to do a specific job. It's just because we like being on a board, and we have the prestige and the honor of being on that board. We like the idea, but we don't want to do the work. I held that judgment in the back of my brain for a long time. A few decades ago, I was attending a board of directors meeting. It had to do with organizing the community, working with not-for-profits and religious organizations, communicating their message to the larger community. We were trying to develop a strategy where we could all work together and talk about what gifts we had to offer to the community. Before the first meeting of the year, we were milling around and greeting each other. You know how you do before a board? You're swapping lies with each other, idle chatter. I saw a man I didn't know very well, but I liked him a lot. And I hadn't seen him for several months, and if my memory is correct, he wasn't at the last meeting that we had. I hurried over to him, and for some reason, I gave him a hug. One of my great hurts during the pandemic is not being able to hug folks. And after the hug, we chatted for a moment or two, and then the board meeting began. I never thought about that moment in time for another second. It was just an interaction in a day filled with meetings. It was in the context of a meeting. 2 days later, my secretary told me that I had a phone call from this man, the man from the board meeting. I was perplexed because we had never had any interaction outside of the board meeting. I picked up the phone and greeted him, and before I could spend any time in the usual idle chatter of a phone call, he said, I want to thank you for saving my life. You see, he went on, after the board meeting, I was going to go home and take my own life. Your hug changed my mind. I sat there for a long time, stunned and silent. And then he went on to tell me his story. You see, Ann Dillard says, a schedule is a lifeboat on which you find yourself decades after decades still living. My schedule put me into a moment when I could have a relationship with this person. In fact, I became, without any knowledge of being one, a lifeboat. It took me a long time as a parish pastor to learn how important my schedule was, how important it was to put myself in a position to be both present and vulnerable to the people that I served. Another story. I spent several decades going to the office on Saturday afternoons to make sure everything was set up for Sunday morning. It was my OCD run rampant. It was my ritual of just checking everything. I would check the communion ware. I would check making sure all the bulletins were in the right place. I just, OCD, bad. So I was there on a Saturday afternoon. I was sitting at my computer. There was no one else in the church, and I saw a car pull up into the parking lot. I didn't know the car. And soon two people got out of the car, and I didn't know them either. They looked like a couple. I thought, oh no, someone wanting to get married. It was in the afternoon, and the only light that was on in the office was the light from my computer terminal. I was hopeful they would just go away. They rang the outside doorbell, and the church was locked, and I sat very still and thought, they don't know I'm here. Maybe they will go away. And then they rang the bell again. And again, I did nothing. My mind was racing. I don't have time for this, I said. I listed all of the things that I needed to do. I squirmed a little sitting in my chair. I knew in my heart of hearts that what I was doing was wrong, and if it wasn't wrong, at least it was selfish. They rang the bell again. I probably muttered an oath under my breath and pushed my chair back and reluctantly walked out of the office to the stairs, took the stairs down to the glass doors, and looked at this couple standing just beyond. I opened the door. If they knew that I was irritated, they didn't seem to see my irritation. I invited them in, and I asked them, using the classic line, "What can I do to help you?" They were holding hands. The woman's eyes were filled with tears, the man's as well. The man, who I later learned indeed was the husband, blurted out, "The doctor told us yesterday that she has cancer, and there is a chance she might die." And with those words, he began to sob. And she shook with tears of fear. We went into the office. I sat them down, pulled my chair close, and they told me their story. They said that they had gone to 3 churches before this one, and that this church was the only one where someone opened the door. Once again, my schedule provided me with an opportunity to be present and vulnerable, a lifeboat. For me, both of these moments are Kingdom of God moments. Both of these moments are times when I stood with the 5 wise bridesmaids ready for the kingdom to come. You see, when we live our life prepared for the kingdom of God, a kingdom that might interrupt us at any moment, we live life living prepared for the divine interruptions. There are days when I don't like that. There are days when I think, no, not now. And then the interruption comes, and the divine breaks into my life. And once again, I know that I am here, where I am, where I'm supposed to be, to serve God and God's people. Amen. We join now in the hymn of the day, in peace, through Christ the door.
Please join me for the Apostles' Creed, which is in your ELW book, page 105. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again and ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all in need. Holy God, rouse us to the deep praise as we gather for worship. Our country is deeply divided. We stand sisters and brothers seeking unity. Help us in the midst of the division and know grace and forgiveness. Help us be one. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy Creator, surprise and delight us with the beauty of the world you have made. Bless the work of landscapers, architects, and artists who works invite us into harmonious living with your creation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy Judge, let justice roll down like water over the world. Reign over the courtrooms of every land, in the hearts of those who guard the law and those who stand accused of crimes. Be present in cases. We were long for both justice and mercy to prevail. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy Companion, console those who feel lonely or abandoned. Share the hours of those who live and eat alone. Comfort those who have few friends or who struggle with their identity and place in this world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy Protector, be with all observing Veterans Day. Guard the lives of the active duty and retired military personnel. Comfort all who mourn those who have died in the line of duty. Heal the wounds, both physical and mental, experienced by service members. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy and immortal One, we pray in thanksgiving for the lives of which those who have died, especially remembering Holly. Remind us of the frailty and shortness of our own lives and inspire us to use them to build up your kingdom. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive our prayers in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, until the day when you gather all creations around your throne, where you will reign over us forever and ever. Amen.
At this point in our liturgy, we pause and wish for each other, our communities, and the world, the peace of God which passes all understanding. And as we say those words, the peace of Christ be with you always. Remember those folks in your life who have a special need for God's peace. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. In just a few moments, we're going to listen to the offertory. And I would remind you, as you listen to that, that this Sunday at 11 o'clock, we'll gather in the parking lot at Trinity Lutheran Church. We'll listen to the radio broadcast. And it is also an opportunity for us to return our pledge cards and reflect on what it means to share our abundance with this church and with all of the all those that this church serves. So thank you for your gifts in the past, and thank you for the pledge cards that are going to be returned soon, and thank you for all of your gifts in the future.
Thank you.
We continue our liturgy now as we join together in our communion liturgy and the words we say around those precious gifts of bread and wine. I would invite you to find some bread, some wine, some grape juice, for in a little while I will say the words, take and eat, and take and drink, and when I say those words, you may share those gifts with each other as we commune each other at home. We join in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us thus far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us. Guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all of humanity. You heard the cry of the poor, for it has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. And so, with all of the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, when the meal was complete, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." So with this, the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, we join together as a community, one in Christ, by these beloved gifts. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. When we share these gifts of God, we remember that these gifts are ours, the people of God, and that everyone is welcome at this table. We now join together in singing Lamb of God on page 146. And now we join together in our communion hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship, 607, Come Ye Disconsolate. And now, if you have your bread and wine, take a moment and, in silence, reflect on all of the times you've taken communion in church, or perhaps taken it at home when a pastor's brought it to you, or one of your communion visitors, or a Stephen minister. So now, take the bread and place it in the hand of someone else, or just take it yourself, and repeat the words, "Take and eat the body of Christ." And now the cup. Take and drink the blood of Christ.
Lord Jesus, in this simple meal you have set us a banquet. Sustain us on the journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children, and give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way. Amen.
And now the benediction. May the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give you reason this day to rejoice and be glad. And now may the blessing of God, Sovereign, Savior, and Spirit, be with you today and always. Amen. Our sending hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 414, Holy God, we praise your name.
Beloved of God, go in peace and love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.